Blog Talk Radio.
What? Yeah, why don't you write to him? Thank you. Yeah. What do you think? I'll tell you the story later, but it's in keeping with all you know. I would leave him alone until 10. Then if he's not on, I would work at him, okay?
Dave?
Yes.
Move your puppy this year.
Sure.
Zane, are you there? Hello, how are you? No.
Are you hearing me okay?
Yes.
All right, so he's on, but I can't hear him. Let me see whether I can figure out what the problem is, because I'm on the same line as he is. Hello?
Zan, can you hear me? I can hear you, Stuart.
Yeah, so something wrong with his connection.
Okay, you want to make a phone call back and see what happens?
Let me see if I can...
Email?
No, I'm going to cut him off and call him back, okay?
Yep.
Because I can't hear him, so I'm cutting him off. I'm going to call him back.
Well, that wasn't him. I don't know who that is. Rainbow Restoration. That wasn't him.
I hear you. Sure.
Yes, good morning, this is Stuart. I'm Adrian Burke's producer for her radio show. Whoops. Oh, you forgot. Okay, no problem. No problem. I'm going to put you on the line with her. I'm going to put you on the line with her right now. Hang on. Okay, actually this is coming very, very well on our studio line. Do you have but if you grab it, do you have a calling number, or I can call you on your on another? You have the number. Okay, so call me. Call us back, okay? Okay, thank you. You forgot.
Well, you handled it very well.
What's that?
You handled it very well. Sound nice.
Turn the heat off in here.
I did.
Already.
Yeah, already.
He's on. I'm gonna put him on the airline.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Zan. How are you?
Adrian, so sorry. I am very discombobulated. A lot of things going on here, but I hope I haven't messed things up.
Not
for
a
you.
Problem. No, not at all. So let me tell you so that you can get back to work. We do this right now. We're not on the air, but we will be in a second. We control that. We do four segments. Between 8 and 11 minutes, and in between we get a chance to just regroup for a minute. So that means it's going to take about 40 minutes out of your day right now. Is that okay?
Sure. I'm planning on that.
Great. And the other thing I wanted you to know is I was very excited about yesterday's call. I put a couple of things in a very brief memo, and that's on the foundation. Okay? So I could send that out, and now I'm going to look later on that leadership section and see how the best way that I can help some of the clients that you have. Is that okay?
That will be great. Wonderful.
Great. I'll send that over. And obviously on the foundation, I really didn't have that many questions. What I did was I wrote down as quickly as I could the way I thought it could get off the ground, and then we really will talk. We really, you know, because
sure.
It's worth some discussion. It was very exciting. Okay, so let me tell you about the show. I want to start the first segment a little bit about Connexum and what it does. And you'll see how I present that to the public. Then we'll talk about Metabesity itself. And then we'll see where we go from there. Okay?
Perfect.
Great.
I'm really looking forward
ready.
To it.
Yeah, we're not going to do a drop-in, but we'll do... But we'll do the, at least in this segment, but we'll do the usual music. All right. Now we have to do something very hard, which is be quiet for a few seconds. Okay, Zan?
Okay.
In the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Well, hello, 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 and this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about what? Well, about aging. And one of the reasons I love this show, and we've been doing this for almost 5 years now, is you, the public, get to go behind the scenes with the companies and the people that are actually changing your life. Little by little, you may not know it, you may not realize it, but today we really do take a deep dive behind the curtain because we're going to be speaking with Dr. Alexander Fleming, a.k.a. Zan, and he is not only the executive chairman, but the founder of Connexum. Now, Connexum is onomatopoetic. It connects them. It connects all the folks that are doing the research, that are creating the products, that are thinking up the startups in the field of biologics, in the field of pharmaceuticals, many other fields that really affect you day to day. And what you may not know is that there are a lot of people toiling in that soil right now that need to get innovations off the ground. And sometimes the ideas, the proof, The research is the easy part. Making it happen in the real world is the difficult part. They need facilitators. And Connexum, among many other things, is one of those facilitators. And the facilitator behind Connexum, of course, is Dr. Zan Fleming. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Adrienne, it's a delight to be with you. You are a terrific connector yourself. I've been amazed at what you do. And it was great to have you at our conference back at the Carnegie Institute in October. We'll come back to that, I'm sure, later on. But all to say, I'm honored to be in the category that you've described. And certainly...
Well, you're a leader in it.
Well,
you know, we have leaders in our field, and you're one of them. And one of the things I did want to say for everybody, so there's no surprises, the conference we're talking about is one that I've written about in my blog, Aging for Beginners, talked about it on the air. You'll know the name if you've been listening to our shows. It is the Metabesity Conference, and Dr. Zan Fleming actually created that word. And that word in and of itself is a connector. It's a connector of many types of diseases like cancer, like heart disease, very, very prominently diabetes, that have a common element to them, and that is issues of aging either enhance or can cause them. And so we will be talking today about a way of looking in a new light through a different lens, that these diseases of aging, not as silos, not as separate diseases, but all one, and how they can be attacked and approached and cured better. But for now, I do want to refocus on Connexum itself, because if you go to the website, connexum.com, there's a word you may not recognize, and that is translational research. What does that mean? And I'm going to throw that to you, Dr. Fleming. That is one of the centerpieces of what Connexum does, but I'm not sure everybody knows, even in the field, what translational research is all about. Tell us.
Well, I'm still learning about what translation means in this context, because it's a never-ending process. It's not a destination that is reached or mastered. I'm an endocrinologist by background and did not have a clue about what was involved in drug development and regulation when I joined the FDA back in the late 80s, 1980s. And it was from that point on that I started to learn about what translation means. And it's highly complex. It's multidisciplinary in nature. That is, a number of different scientific disciplines are involved. And all this has to be interfaced against public policy decisions. That is, there is a very important element of understanding what best suits the public health in approving a drug product or any other kind of regulated product. It has to fit into broad public health considerations. And there are compromises, as you can imagine. You have to look at unmet need versus wanting to know everything you can about about a product at the time of approval. And so it's a balance. It's an art and a science. And translation in this context means taking a discovery in the laboratory that's very promising in an animal model, let's say for improving lifespan as a relevant example, and then getting that to an approved product. That is what translation is about, and it is a dauntingly complex proposition. We can just say that.
So let me ask a very honest question, because this is the fountain of truth, and everybody who comes on it realizes they're going to perhaps be talking to the public. We are not. We are often behind when it comes to issues of how much we spend for not only the longevity we get out of it, but the healthy longevity. Other countries can be ahead of us. Now, let's stay with this issue of the complexity of getting a pharmaceutical drug, maybe a device, to the public. Does this have to do with our regulations? Are these regulations overly cautious? Is it a good idea that we have so much safety built into what we're doing here? Because frankly, I have conference after conference, not just MedObesity. I've heard people who are excellent researchers, and I have friends who have already moved abroad to India, to England, because they can't do what they want to accomplish here. Is that a serious problem? And how is Connexum watching and thinking about that?
Well, it's an age-old problem. It's nothing new. There used to be something called the drug gap back when I joined FDA that referred to the fact that beta blockers, which everybody knows about now, many people are taking them for blood pressure or even heart failure indications. But those products were available in the United Kingdom well before they were in the U.S. And it's a long story in itself why, but that was actually a real problem with the FDA at that time. I'm glad to say, though, that FDA is generally at the right balance and, in fact, is often the first to approve a substantial drug product when it comes to getting the product on the global market. So that's a generality, and you'll find outliers where FDA is either well ahead or it's well behind. And it also can be looked at in terms of different categories of products. For example, what we call advanced therapies, these are not pharmaceuticals, but they're gene therapies and cell therapies. These are where we have some lag in approving here in the U.S. I would say Japan and other countries are ahead of us in being willing to put those products on the market. On the other hand, I can give you examples where it's going way too fast. You may have heard recently about the million-dollar gene therapy you can actually get if you're willing to travel. Yeah. To have that done, I would say that is a bad idea. That is a no-go from my standpoint as somebody who is certainly wanting to develop longevity therapies, but it's way too soon to be doing that.
Now let's talk about that exact issue, longevity therapies. I want to give a little bit of a definition here. Is a couple of ways of looking at longevity. For most of us, for the average person, longevity is an expectation. And we can tell you what we expect. And we'll say it in obviously layman's terms. My mom or my dad passed away early. I don't think I'm going to live for a long time. I've got longevity in my family. I'm not going to check out until I'm over 100 years old. So it is a very individual, attitudinal thing that longevity is for the public. But for the researchers, it's a whole other situation. Not only is it a great reality, not only can they measure how much greater our longevity is, but they are trying to expand our lifespan even as a species. But all of this being healthy longevity, not longevity in decline, not what we think of when we think of old. It's the opposite. When we come back, we're going to call, actually, Dr. Zan Fleming is really in the middle of all of this with a conference that he developed and a word he developed called MedObesity, which we alluded to a little earlier. We're going to go and take a deeper dive into what MedObesity means, what's happening in the world of lifespan and longevity changes, and whether or not we're going to be affected by it, which I obviously think we are, in our lifetime. So don't you go away. We will be right back with MedObesity and your longevity.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so now we're not recording, but so you see how fast it goes? It just runs away, right?
Yes, it does.
I know. But it's perfect. So the second segment, obviously, we're going to talk about MedObesity and unpack it, talk about the conference. But the question I had, and I'm going to send people to the website. Can they? I see that it's pretty easy to get your newsletter. Would that be okay for me to tell people to do?
Yeah, we'd love to have people sign up.
Great. And the other thing is, do you want me to mention Tolarin? Is that the way you say the name of the company? And the new...
Tolarin, yeah.
Tolarin.
Yes, I think you could. It's probably not doing diseases that will be of general interest to your audience. Some people will be if they have kids with type 1 diabetes. But I'd leave that to you. I'd be glad for you to mention it.
Yeah, well, we have had a very a good response to a show where the fellow who was on, and I'm blocking his name, you may even know him. He runs Team One, and that is the competitive professional cycling team, and everybody has type 1 diabetes.
Yeah. Right.
And he was awarded, he got an award at the United Nations. And we had him on, and it was a well listened to show. So, I think that's something that might be mentioned. Okay.
Well, ask me the question about preventing or curing diabetes in general, and of course that's both type 1 and type 2. I have great interest in both.
Great. All right, Stuart, we're ready. Quiet again. And hello, hello, hello once again. Just a little bit of housekeeping. Remember that you can give us your email, and this is really growing, at generationboldradio.com, and you'll get our monthly, our Monday newsletter. It's a weekly newsletter sent to you every single Monday with hints and tips on aging, hints and tips on better health, but more importantly, some of the wonderful experts that we have on our show, as well as excerpts and directions for our blog, Aging for Beginners, as we begin to skew younger and younger. And I'm finding that the Xennials, yet another generation, are concerned with aging. And well, they should be. We have with us today Dr. Alexander, also called Zan Fleming, who is the executive founder and chair of Connexum. Now, Connexum is a very special type of facilitator company. It sees, I would say, the world of pharmaceuticals, biologics, biological devices that you may be using from this 360-degree point of view, how they are connected and how they are helping you, but how they need help to get eventually to market. Now, one of the things that Connexum is doing is creating and supporting a very important conference, very unique. Again, if you go to Aging for Beginners, you'll see a full article on it. It's called Metabesity. Metabesity is a word that Dr. Fleming, our guest, actually made up. And when you understand it, you'll learn a lot more and be really an insider in what's happening in the world of aging and health. Not just curing aging, which is a funny thing to say, because we don't want to stop aging, you know the alternative. But we don't want the deficits of aging to go along with it. And is that possible? Yes, it's not science fiction. So, Dr. Fleming, first unpack this word, metabesity. You made it up, so you know what it means.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it because it really is my passion. And it really is based on the fatigue around developing treatments for just managing diseases like diabetes. Take type 2 diabetes, which is, you know, a major public health problem and probably a problem for many in your audience. We've got a lot of therapies for type 2 diabetes now, and we have made a lot of progress in being able to treat the hallmark of diabetes, which is a high blood glucose. level. However, wouldn't it be much better to prevent diabetes? And while you're at it, to prevent related metabolic diseases. And you might say, well, what's related to diabetes? And just bottom line, it turns out that many other conditions, common public health problems, are metabolically driven in part. That is, even cancer, to some extent, has a metabolic driver to it. And certainly cardiovascular disease, atherosclerosis and cardiovascular, other cardiovascular problems are driven by underlying metabolic roots. And so it turns out that there may be opportunities to prevent multiple chronic diseases, not completely prevent, but reduce the risk of developing these conditions. And wouldn't that be a better idea than waiting for the conditions to begin before you start treating them?
Now, we have to make an important point here for the public. This is not the way our research silos are set up. And this is one of the things that MedObesity as a conference, and really as a movement, I think it's more than a conference, could take care of and would be extremely beneficial for us in our day-to-day life. I'll give you an example from my world of financial gerontology. There used to be a time when you had a lawyer, you had a CPA, you had a financial accountant if you were a wealthy person, and they didn't talk to each other. One did not know what the other one was doing. And then something came up called the Swiss method. We say it in the parlance as a Swiss banker. Rich people have a Swiss banker. What does it mean? It means that everybody's under the same roof talking to each other. And as the taxes might affect the way things are invested, the way things are invested could affect the taxes. But this is not the way research in healthcare is done today. It is done in silos. Now, there's a lot of sharing and so on. But looking at an underlying cause that can have an overall effect on many diseases is MedObesity, is what's new. So let's go back, Dr. Fleming. There's some exciting things happened at the conference, and that was players, stakeholders, I like to say to be fancy, that didn't usually talk to each other or come together in one conference did come together. So tell us a little bit about the uniqueness of that and the plans to continue it.
Well, you put your finger on the essence of what we're trying to do, and that is to bust the silos, so to speak. And as you say, this is not the way products are typically developed, that you have people who are highly focused on a particular disease, and right now cancer is getting most of the attention. It's leaving some of the chronic diseases behind. And I say amen to all the work and resources that are going into cancer, but we've got to do more in preventing chronic diseases. And that is going to take busting silos. And it's not just scientific silos, because you were a very good example at that conference of just what we were trying to do, to bring in the multiverse of stakeholders that are going to be important to making this all happen. So the conference was not just for scientists, even though we had quite a diversity of different kinds of scientists and physicians and the usual what we call suspects who are involved in therapeutic development. But we had other stakeholders. We had folks from the investment community, because ultimately they're going to be important for funding these kind of efforts. We had people that started to talk about the social issues themselves, you being a great example, and then for Lucy Rose, another important example, who was talking about loneliness as both a cause of metabolic disease, and that is well known, and a result of it, a vicious cycle, which tends to result in people who are in a isolated condition exacerbating their diabetes, and in turn increasing their risk of cancer, cardiovascular disease, and dementia. All of those are metabolically driven to some extent, and we believe that we can address some of the root causes and reduce the risk of all of those conditions ultimately.
Now, you know, I have had opportunities to go to laboratories. I want everybody to know about them. I write about them a lot. I get permission from the researchers to talk about them. And these are laboratories that are really looking at what causes aging, specifically what causes aging. And we're going to talk about that in the context of metabesity and whether or not stamping out the causes of aging can sell. And I believe, as Dr. Fleming says, it can sell if we look forward to our longevity and our older age, not if we don't. We'll be back in just a moment.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
So we're now going to the third segment. And a couple of things. I'm going to start with the newsletter and ask people to join the newsletter. But what I do want to talk about is what you're hearing, whether or not the field of the scientific field is ready to give up their silos and take a look at research and development in this area, and also any of the feedback that you're getting from the non-scientific community on this. So that's something
sure.
I'd like you to talk about. And in this segment, I begin to always ask, is there anything else you want to bring out? Because the show does run away, and I want to make sure that the guest says what they want to say. So is there a particular question you want to make me to make sure I ask you?
All right, and this is the last segment.
Nope, we have one more after this.
Oh, one more after that. Okay, well, I'm good for now.
Okay, Stuart, we're ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Don't forget that if you go on to our website, generationboldradio.com, you can not only hear many, many shows, at least 1 or 2 years of our archived shows, you can give us your website, you'll get our Monday weekly report with hints and tips. This week it was about natural ways of not getting the flu, and that was fun. But even more fun was the fact that if you have fire is a kind of apple cider vinegar, in your seltzer or club soda, it tastes like booze. And that's something very valuable to have because you're probably going to have family over, and you want to have a drink, and maybe more than one. So you can mix one of those, and there's absolutely no liquor in it, but it feels like it. So you see, we like the placebo effect every once in a while. It's good for your health, and it's also good for your metabolism. You see what I did there, Dr. Fleming? We're speaking right now
I
with
love
Dr.
That.
Zan Fleming, yeah, who is the inventor of a word, and that word is metabesity, and we know that words count, and they can create whole movements. And here, it may very well be the case. Metabesity is also a conference and brings together, as Dr. Fleming mentioned to us, experts from a lot of different worlds, from the world of culture, socialization, social work, of course, all types of science, scientific research, to look at aging and its causes and its cures in a very interesting way. So I want to put this to you. There is a movement. And again, my listeners know about it because I talk about it a lot, but most people are not aware of looking at aging as possibly a disease, or at least looking at aging as an underlying cause of diseases, so that it facilitates getting pharmaceuticals, biologics, different biological devices more quickly and better funded through FDA and other regulatory agencies and to us. On the other side of it, there is still such a stigma in our country and many others. I'm not singling us out because we're not alone in our culture, that aging is not a good thing, that it makes us invisible and maybe even a burden on society. And so we don't want anything associated with the word aging that's negative, like the word disease. So how are you, and almost, you know, you're really at the forefront of this, translating this issue, looking at aging as something that can, at least its underlying deficits can be cured, and navigating that you know, let's say linguistic issue of looking at it as disease or disease prone, and yet a wonderful stage of life. It's not easy. How is the public taking this? How is the scientific industry taking this?
Well, Adrienne, I love this topic because it's actually one that is so complex and yet so important for starting with our politicians to weigh in on. And part of the problem here is that, as you say, that if a particular condition isn't seen as a disease, then even our own FDA doesn't know what to do with that. In other words, the current regulations focus on treating diseases or approving therapies for that purpose. They don't really, or at least the regulators are scratching their heads about how they could approve a treatment that is aimed at reducing the aging process. And we'll come back to that maybe in a moment. But that is just a practical consideration. And let me say, I'm in both sides of this argument. I do believe that there is good reason to avoid stigmatizing aging and calling it a disease. On the other hand, I see the practicality of making this a target, making aging a target to do something about, and that includes pharmaceuticals, but by no means is that the probably most important category of how we can improve the aging process. I was part of an article that was recently published in one of the top-tier journals on proposing aging as a disease. It's actually a pretty complex article in how and the details of how that would be done. But the point is, I find myself making both major arguments. Aging can be considered a disease for some purposes, and by the same token, we ought to look at aging as a normal process of living, and to increase our health towards the end of life, we ought to be taking measures earlier on that will increase what we call health span. I believe that that is the actionable term, not longevity. We don't want just to live a long time if we're going to be bedridden. What we want to do is to increase that period of time of our life that is free of disease, free of chronic disease. So I think health span is the best way of categorizing that objective.
You know, in the insurance industry, they use a phrase which scientists are using now too, called HALE, and it stands for Health Adjusted Life Expectancy. What they look at now in the insurance industry is not your age any longer because of what you say. Aging and longevity is not that meaningful. Your chronologic age is not, we all know what it is, but it's not so meaningful. Somebody at 30 can have a lot more deficiencies from a risk point of view of an insurance company than somebody at 60. So what do they look at? They look at health-adjusted life expectancy, and that's really what we're shooting for. We're shooting for a very high level of life expectancy with good health. And other than health span, we don't have a word for it right now. And I think that everybody in different parts of the aging industry, I'm going to call it, is really flailing around looking for that. And when that's correct, then the regulatory agencies that are very word-oriented, very purpose-driven, because it's the law, can function a lot better in terms of this. But now let's take a look at the practicalities of it. When companies come to Connexum, they're probably in some area of curing and discovery. One of those areas that the public doesn't know a lot about, Dr. Fleming, is devices. They know quite a bit about pharmaceuticals. They're taking their medicine. They're reading the news. But devices, that's a little different, what I sometimes call age tech. And I know that you're involved with them, including a diabetic app, and you just did a paper on whether or not that's beneficial for people with diabetes. Explain a little bit the idea of devices, online, digital technology, and how it fits into the big picture of research.
Well, I'm so glad to have the opportunity to make that point. But first of all, drugs are not going to be probably the most helpful category of solutions, at least for the short term. What we can do right now is to help reduce health risk with the use of digital technology. And a quick explanation here from a regulatory standpoint, that I think most people understand that FDA regulates medical devices, and you think of everything from cardiac defibrillators and pacemakers to other hard pieces of equipment that are used either outside the body or put in it. These are clearly regulated by FDA. What people may not know is that FDA regulates so-called diagnostics, which are chemical tests, and other forms of making health decisions. And then the newer category of digital technology, and this is a big challenge for FDA because it's obviously an exploding area. But what I'm getting to is just what you were referring to, Adrian, and that is the so-called digital app, and here we mean digital application that you put on your phone, your smartphone. And we have literally thousands of digital apps that you can download today to manage different health problems, but diabetes in particular, and relatedly in managing weight or helping to assist good nutrition. These are very convenient, inexpensive ways of getting help to improve your prevention of disease, not just management of disease. And so I see this as really, in some ways, a more promising source of short-term solutions to improve health and to increase health span.
Now, one of the things we're going to talk about in our next segment a little bit is how to take control and behavioral health, because that's also so much of the game of healthy aging or health span. We're speaking right now, of course, with the executive chairman and the founder of Connexum, and I want to give you an opportunity to read what the researchers read, what the scientists read, what the people who are in the field of aging read through their complimentary newsletter. Just go, and we'll have this on our website as usual as well, to Connexum, KINEXUM.com. And you'll read about all of these innovations, and you will get their newsletter. It is fascinating, particularly one recent article talking exactly about metabesity and the future of looking at aging and how it can be cured. In other words, not the aging, not the addition of your years, but the deficits that you may discover health-wise when it comes to aging. So that's Connexum, KINEXUM.com. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, now this one is the last segment, all right?
Okay,
so,
very good.
So I did want to talk about behavioral health and a kind of your visionary view of the future of aging. But I, again, will ask, is there anything else you would like to cover?
Well, I do want to talk about the TAME trial as an example of what's happening
okay.
here and now to chip away at the health span or to improve health span. I think
good.
This would be good to mention. And near Barzilay, and maybe we could even touch on what you can buy right now. And it's sort of a tricky issue, as you know, the nutraceuticals that are now available but don't have FDA drug approval.
Right.
They
good.
Are dietary supplements.
Good. Let us do that right now. Still, we're ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, da, da.
And hello, hello, hello again. We are running into our very last segment and possibly the most important segment for you. And that is, what can you do, what is happening, and what is real? In 5 years of speaking to leading doctors in so many different disciplines, I always come up with the same conclusion. Nutrition, exercise, less stress, good relationships, have a life purpose, you'll live longer, healthier. But there are certainly things going on that will enhance that with pharmaceuticals and treatments. Now, Dr. Zan Fleming, Alexander Fleming, who is the executive chairman and the founder of Connexum, is here to tell us about several of them. One of them is a research project. I think that's the best way to put it. It's called TAME. I hear about it all the time. Explain it to us.
Good. Well, first of all, I wanted to say that those lifestyle changes are at the heart of what we have to do to improve our chances of health. It's the low-hanging fruit in the sense that we know what they are, and if we'll just do them, that will make a big difference. And that should be the first step, nutrition, reducing stress, doing all the things that we know are good for us. And of course, at the MedObesity Conference, we had Dr. Susan Main, who is responsible for regulating foods in the United States. And that's a very big part of the puzzle as well. So this is a very broad-based effort that includes all kinds of considerations, even education starting at grade school level and hoping to instill good living practices. But coming back to TAME, this is a very exciting concept because it's actually a clinical trial that is about to begin. It's led by Dr. Nir Barzilay at Einstein University in New York, but many other investigators are contributing to it, and it's what we could call the poster child of the kind of clinical trial that ultimately could be submitted to FDA to support a so-called health span indication. Now, there is no such thing right now. No therapy has been approved to increase health span. But another person we had at the MedObesity Conference was Dr. Janet Woodcock, who is the head of drug review and research at FDA. And she spoke about this extensively, and it was very helpful to understand what they need at FDA to be able to approve a health span indication. Well, TAME is going to take a drug that's been around a long time, in fact, since 1955 throughout the rest of the world, but I was responsible when at FDA for approving metformin for the treatment of type 2 diabetes. At the time, it was a controversial approval, but now it's the first-line treatment for type 2 diabetes. And it turns out that there are a lot of data that suggest that it also, that metformin can also reduce the risk of cancer, dementia, and cardiovascular disease, not to mention diabetes. And so the objective of TAME is to use this drug that's been around for decades, and we have a good sense of its safety profile, to increase the time before you develop a chronic disease of one kind or another. And that would include cancer, dementia, and cardiovascular disease. And it could even be diabetes as well. But for now, TAME is looking at the first three chronic diseases as ones that could be collectively reduced in their time to, or the time before they develop to be increased. And so the whole point of TAME is to show for the first time that a group of chronic diseases can collectively be affected. That is, not prevented, because you don't really totally prevent them from occurring, but the time to their onset can be delayed.
And once that happens, I can assure you, because I've been watching this for now, oh, let's say since 1972, when I entered into elder law, watching this, to me, will have a domino effect. If TAME can be seen and used for that purpose, there will be so many other either drug trials, other kinds of research that go across the borders of different diseases. It's going to be very quick. It's going to be, I think, a very easy learning curve once it gets off the ground. That's certainly very important. And I want to go further, though, before we finish with Dr. Fleming, and because he himself mentioned it during the break. He said, you know, one thing we really ought to talk to the public about is nutraceuticals, the non-FDA approved, the kinds of things that you can go ahead and take, whether it's a device or whether it's a supplement for yourself, that seems to be pro-indicated for healthy aging. How do you see that, Dr. Fleming?
This is maybe one of the most challenging issues for me, because I embrace the science that is rapidly supporting the value of a number of what are now we call nutraceuticals that could have impact on health span. The big problem is that we don't have long-term evidence in humans for supporting the safety and effectiveness of these products. But they nonetheless are on the market because we have a large loophole that provides for so-called dietary supplements to be sold without making specific claims for what they will do. And so there are a number of treatments, some which have more data, more animal data than others, supporting their benefit on health span or even longevity. And you can buy those right now. You can buy them online. And some of them have world-famous scientists behind them. And I think that's a mixed bag, quite frankly. And what will happen is that we can get ahead of ourselves in using a particular agent that we think is going to do the job, but it may turn out that we discover a big safety problem and that we've done more harm than good. So this is a real big challenge for us, and all I can say is we've got to make it more feasible to do trials like TAME, because that is the way we will get evidence to support products that you can rely on. Without a pathway that we hope TAME will provide, we will stay where we are. We will be short of evidence for products that may or may not be worth taking.
you know, one of the things that we know is that we're not going to say where we are. There are cheerleaders. Connexum is a cheerleader in successful aging and in increasing health span, and is getting more and more powerful. And as we get older, we have more time to think about our aging as opposed to a particular disease. We're not always running faster and faster to stay in the same place. So we thank you so much. I want to give the public a little hint and tip about how I handle the issue of supplements, because it is exactly, as you say, a mixed bag. I take tests so that I know what I have an issue, whether it's a Zika test that I mentioned to folks, or a blood test, my usual blood test. And if I see I have a potassium, which I do, elevation, magnesium deficit, which I do, I look specifically to what might be helpful to me, as opposed to the next big claim. In order to do that, you have to pay attention to your own body composition with some of the tests that are out. And many of them, believe it or not, are covered by Medicare for our folks who are Medicare eligible. So I look to myself as opposed to the marketing claim. And Dr. Fleming, this has been a real eye-opener for us. And everybody, for greater information, go to Connexum, KINEXUM.com, and you'll be a real insider. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Adrienne. I really enjoyed it. Keep going.
And for everybody else, you know what I'm going to say? Get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay. See, it's done. Amazing.
All right.
Right.
Well, that flew right by, Adrienne. You're a great interviewer.
Well, we had a wonderful time. We got a lot of good information out. You'll see from an email that it'll go on our podcast. It'll go on our syndicated Biz Talk. And that'll all be today, by the way. No, tomorrow. Tomorrow, Stuart is saying. Then it's heard on certain stations on Sunday and Saturday night. But it's always archived. And it goes on to our Monday newsletter to everybody as well, and also on our social media. So any place that connects them to use it, feel free. No, don't.
Wonderful.
You don't need any
relief. We will.
Just use
we
it.
Will certainly put it out there on our website.
Right. Now, for me, I've been dreaming about this ever since we talked yesterday. I want to make it as real as possible. It looks like on the consulting side, it's pretty easy. It's just me articulating how I could support some of your clients, and then they make a decision as to whether they need that kind of help. Am I right about that?
That's right. Exactly.
Okay.
Simple as that.
On the foundation, I'm very excited about making it happen. It began to formulate in my thinking. So I put down a one pager with four steps, and probably that one pager will bring out more questions than it answers, but maybe it'll be a good catalyst for our next discussion with Thomas. Is that okay?
Sure. Wonderful. That's just what we needed. And
good. We'll
get right on it. Come right back to you.
Great, because I didn't think you had anything in writing yet at all with regard to your thoughts. Am I right?
That's right. All of this has been just free-floating in our conversations, and your putting it on paper will help us to advance that in a more tangible way.
Good, and don't judge it, because it is really thinking from nothing, you know, just my first reactions, okay?
Well, I think it's going to be invaluable for moving us along.
Great. Take care and have a good day. I know you were rushed, and thank you for giving your time on this one.
Oh, well, thank you a million. I really enjoyed it, Adrienne. You're amazing.
Good. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.